You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast episode 527.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi. How are you, Kevin?
I'm good. We're doing a show on time for once. Lately, it's been...
down to the wire a little bit.
End of the week, last minute. Yeah, it's like, all right, the show's coming out tomorrow. We better record it. But yeah, we actually got our act together this week. It's nice and early in the week. We'll have time to edit. Then we'll send it out to the people.
Fantastic.
All 11 of them. I'm being optimistic in my numbers.
I see. Is the count inflated again?
I may be slightly exaggerating our listenership. Yes. Hello, all of you. No, I'm good. It's the middle of June now. It's the crazy long days I enjoy. Do you like the long days?
I do. I've been walking at sunset, and I can't believe how long it stays light outside.
It's ridiculous. It's light out at like 5 in the morning. It's light well into the evening. It's good.
And I just saw my first fireflies of the year last night, actually.
Yeah, but you owe them money, right? They come around. They're looking to collect.
They are. I stay in the house in the evening as a result.
Got a lot of poor financial advice, strangely involving the insect kingdom.
Hey, I thought it was a safe bet.
But we mustn't dwell on that. Yeah, so you're out walking?
I am. I'm challenging myself to walk 100 miles in the month of June.
Yes, yes, that's right. You're walking 100 miles. I'm running 100 miles at least this month.
You routinely have a goal of about 100 miles, right?
I'm trying to knock out 100 miles a month, yeah.
See, this is new territory for me, and I just, every time I get done, I feel like my legs are going to fall right off. When does that go away?
It's a lot. Because if you pause and take a break, suddenly you're way behind for the month.
Yep. I'm trying to be more like you, Kevin.
That's usually a bad idea. But for now, let's just get into our wacky little show. Let's do National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
Oh, I think you'll be glad we did get into this, Kevin, because it's a Brat Pack birthday.
You know I enjoy the Brat Pack.
Yes.
We talk about them all the time.
We kind of can't get enough here.
They've somehow, the Brat Pack has taken over the Flopcast over the last few months. Who's having a Brat Pack birthday?
It's Ally Sheedy.
Ally, that's one of our very favorites. Didn't she win the tournament? The Brat
she
Pack
did.
Tournament? Yeah, she was the winner. We had Gary here. We did Brat Pack Flop Fight. Ally was the winner, and now it's her birthday.
And she's my very favorite. Her birthday is June 13th, and she's turning 60.
60?
Ally Sheedy is 60.
I'm having trouble processing that, but okay.
I was trying to think of some things we haven't said about Ally Sheedy yet, given that she is one of your favorites and she's my very favorite of the Brat Pack.
Yeah, I feel like we've covered Ally pretty thoroughly.
So I found a couple of things to mention that I know we haven't talked about.
Okay. Just to bring everybody up to speed, Ally Sheedy from the Brat Pack, best known probably for the Short Circuit movies, you know, running around with a robot, Breakfast Club, of course, War Games with Matthew Broderick, and many, many other things. One of our great Brat Pack movie stars.
She is most of the time a college instructor nowadays.
What?
But did you know that when she was 12, she wrote a book?
I didn't know that. And I'm also, you threw me with the college instructor thing also. She's teaching at a college?
She is. She's, I think it's a small community college. She's a college professor. And, oh, she's at the City College of New York. That's where she's teaching.
And what's weird is, like, kids going into community college, do they even realize what they're dealing with there?
They Google her. They Google her and they figure it out.
Like, she was a huge star before you were born, kid? Show a little respect?
Pretty much. She's like, some of them have the entire filmography of hers in their head.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because she quizzes them on it constantly.
That's their, must be.
Their entire grade is based on how well they know the Ali Sheedy filmography. What an egomaniac.
Isn't that why everyone becomes a college professor?
Yes, yes.
So she's doing that. She wrote a book when she was 12. And I have to mention this because I love what the book is called. And one of these days I'm going to have to look it up. Apparently it became a bestseller. Oh. It was a book called She Was Nice to Mice.
Oh, that sounds familiar. I think I used to know that. At some point I was aware of that.
Well, do you know what she's up to nowadays? Besides teaching?
She's not nice to mice anymore?
I think she probably is still nice to mice, if I had to guess. Because Allie strikes me as somebody who would never not be nice to mice.
Yeah.
But she is a regular on a show that's streaming on Hulu now called Single Drunk Female.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah.
She plays the mom of the main character.
She's the mom of the single drunk female. She is not.
The
titular single drunk female. Okay. So the kids at the community college, it's not like their professor is a single drunk female, because that'd be weird.
No.
Have you seen the show? Is it any good?
I just found out about this show.
All right. Let's both check it out.
Totally.
Then we'll circle back and compare notes. Sheedy notes. The best kind.
Sheedy notes.
All right. Happy birthday, Allie. A Flopcast favorite.
Had to start the show off with a bang.
Yeah, because I'm not sure what's going to happen now. I put something together for you, a surprise for tonight's show. And I just slapped this together moments ago before we started recording.
I love my surprises slapped together.
Well, here's what happened. I started thinking about the year 1997 because that was 25 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Which is ridiculous.
It doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like 1997 was 25 years ago. Come on.
I was a bit freaked out thinking about it. So I thought 1997, because usually we look at junk from the 80s or the 70s or whatever. We don't do a lot of 90s. Once in a while, we do some 90s stuff. But I thought, let's do something for 1997, because it was a quarter century ago.
Jeez. Let me put it that way. Okay, well, let's do it.
So what I did is, this is sort of a flop fight, but not quite. It's a simplified, modified flop fight.
Modified flop fight.
I was thinking about the music of 1997, and I thought, let's just do a pop songs of 1997 flop fight.
I can't wait to hear what you picked.
But this is very much a stripped down, not a real flop fight. I didn't do any competitions. We have no weird competitions involved. I'm just going to be offering you pairs of pop songs from 1997. You can pick which one you want.
Wait, can I make up the criteria?
Yeah, you can. Of course.
All right.
So what I did, because in 1997, I was not listening to the pop music stations.
You weren't listening to the mainstream.
But that's what I looked to put this together. I looked up the Billboard Top 100 Songs of the Year, the pop chart for 1997. I pared that down to 16 songs, which was easy to start hacking down the list, because first I eliminated any songs that I didn't know what they were.
Oh, yeah, you could take a whole chunk away.
Which was most of them. That got me down to about 30. And I cut that in half. I've got it down to 16 here. So I was mostly looking for songs that I knew and maybe songs that we might have something to say about or not.
It'd be interesting to see.
And I got it down to 16. So let's just jump into this. Let's see what happens. We're going to arrive at the ultimate cornflake pick for a pop song from 1997.
Well, this is a journey I'm looking forward to.
Or at least cornflake's top pop song of the 1997 pop songs that I recognized. Like, your all-time favorite song might have been on this list, and I just had no idea what it was. I don't know.
And just yomped it off the list.
Yep, I did a lot of yomping. So here we go. The first song that we have drawn, Cornflake, is at number 50 for the year, Celine Dion, It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
So did Jim Steinman write or play on this one?
This is a Jim Steinman song. Oh, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Which makes it easily my favorite Celine Dion song. I don't know many Celine Dion songs, but I know this one, and it's cool because it's a Steinman.
I have made it a point not to have a favorite Celine Dion song up until now.
This was like peak Celine Dion, right? 1997, because this was Titanic. This was the year of Titanic also.
Yeah.
But here we have a No Fooling Around Steinman song from Celine going up against the next song I'm going to draw for you. And then I can't wait to hear how you're going to pick. The next song I have drawn is at number 55 for the year is Sheryl Crow, If It Makes You Happy.
Oh, wow.
Now you have to pick Celine versus Sheryl.
Well, this is tough.
Now, keep in mind, one of them is Canadian. I don't know if that's going to factor in.
Yeah, I know. All right. I will admit there is exactly one song by Celine Dion that I like.
And this is not it?
This is not it.
Oh, no.
Well, the song that I liked was when she pretty much emerged. It was in 1990, Where Does My Heart Beat Now? I really liked that song.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And then we got Celine to death for the next, what, 2 decades?
Yeah.
I don't know if Jim Steinman can even save her on this one because I was so Celine'd out by 1997. And then on the other hand, Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
If I had to pick my favorite Sheryl Crow songs, of which there were several, If It Makes You Happy would not be on the list.
This would not be it. No. I like Sheryl Crow. I'm a Sheryl Crow fan, but this is certainly not my favorite Sheryl song either.
Yeah.
I'm with you there.
So both of these songs are a little bit whiny.
Yeah.
And that makes it hard.
Sheryl does kind of stray into a near caterwauling.
Yes, she does.
Well, which way are you going?
I'm going Celine.
Okay. I think that's the right move. I support that. And yeah, again, if it's like, who do you like better, Sheryl or Celine, I would go Sheryl. But in the case of these exact songs,
Celine.
Your heart will go on.
Yes.
Celine will go on in the tournament. Let's draw the next song. Oh, this was the number 12 song for the year. I can't even say the song title. It's so stupid. But this is Hanson, Cornflake. You know what we're talking about.
Oh, we're talking Mbop, aren't we?
That's a catchy little song.
It is. Adorable trio of guys. But at least one of them was probably close in age to me, but the other two were so young. I was like, I wasn't that much older than them, and I still wanted to pinch their cheek because they just seemed so cute, you know?
It was like a 3-year-old kid playing the drums.
That's what impressed me about them is that these are super little kids making impressive pop songs.
They were for real. That's the thing. They could really play.
And you couldn't deny how much fun you were having listening to that song.
It was confusing at first. You had to figure out, wait a minute, are these kids really playing? And yeah, they were.
Yeah, that was all them.
They were a real band. Yeah, and they still are a real band. They're still out there. Okay, so you've got Hanson going up against. Now I'm drawing the number 63 song for 1997 was Sarah McLachlan, Building a Mystery.
Oh, easy.
This was the Lilith Fair era.
Yes, and I was a Lilith Fair girl. So,
sure.
Let me say this much about Hanson. I actually appreciate Mbop now more than I did when it came out. Back in 1997, I remember hearing that song and thinking to myself, okay, pop has officially changed. They've officially stopped writing songs that I like in the pop genre.
They practically stopped using words in pop songs at this point.
and yet it's fun now, and I'll bob my head to it when I hear it. Now, Sarah McLachlan, however, I've always been a fan. I absolutely love that Building a Mystery song. So
it's Hanson versus Sarah. Are you going Sarah McLachlan?
Going Sarah.
Okay. Sorry, boys.
I sincerely am, because I like them now, but at the time, all hope was lost when this song came out.
I like that. I like you just giving up on music because of Hanson. Up next at number 81 for the year was Luscious Jackson with Naked Eye.
Ooh, good one.
Sort of a deep cut. I didn't realize how popular a song that was, that it actually landed in the top 100 for the year on the pop chart.
I was going to say, that made it to 81.
That surprised me. They were cool.
Yeah, they really were.
I saw them live once. I saw Luscious Jackson opening for REM. So even though I've seen them in concert, this is the only Luscious Jackson song that I know. I think I forgot whatever else they played that night. And the only other thing I know about Luscious Jackson is that one of the women in Luscious Jackson was also one of the founding members of the Beastie Boys.
Really?
There's some weird Luscious Jackson trivia for you. Yes.
That's wild.
Yeah, the drummer, I think. She used to be a Beastie Boy.
And then she got Luscious.
So Luscious Jackson is going up against... Okay, this is a combo entry, because I was paring this down, and I had two songs left. We're into that alternative rock scene with all those little one-hit bands, and I couldn't even tell one from the next, and so I just squished them into one entry here, Cornflick. It's a combo. We have, at number 18, Barely Breathing by Duncan Sheik.
Yeah.
And at number 36, All For You by Sister Hazel.
Oh my goodness.
I'm just squishing them together. You can do with that what you like.
Well, you've presented me with a conundrum.
Yeah. Oh no, do you love one of those songs and hate the other one?
Yes.
To me, they're practically the same song. All those bands sounded the same. I liked them enough.
Oh no. Barely Breathing is such a depressing song. I am barely breathing. Boo hoo. Whereas yeah. Sister Hazel, All For You. I remember that song playing at my prom and dancing to it. I love that song.
Well, I mean, you can do whatever you like with this. You can kick Duncan Sheik right out of this competition keep Sister Hazel. I don't care.
At first, I could not get enough of the idea of kicking Duncan Sheik right out of this flop fight. Like, yeah. You don't even belong here. And now I feel bad because I know that Duncan Sheik is a solid songwriter. But man, that Barely Breathing song, I'm pretty sure I've heard other Duncan Sheik songs. They'd be deep cuts because you're right. It was seemingly like one hit wonder.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I've heard other Duncan Sheik songs that I liked. But on account of the fact that we're talking about Barely Breathing versus Sister Hazel, All For You. Now, I don't know if I could tolerate other Sister Hazel songs because I never really heard them.
Yeah.
But I do love that All For You song. And okay. It's up against...
Up against Luscious Jackson, Naked Eye.
Oh, that's tough. Those are both so good. But I have a special place in my heart for Sister Hazel, so it has to be.
Wow, okay. Despite being anchored to your bitter enemy, Duncan Sheik.
I'm allowing Sister Hazel to rise above the wreckage.
Okay. Next we have... Oh, I've drawn the Spice Girls, Cornflake.
Have you now?
It was 1997. The number 10 song of the year was Wannabe, Spice Girls.
It was bound to happen.
Yeah.
1997 was a spicy, spicy time for the Spice Girls.
They had three or four songs in the top 100, but I was trying to keep this to just, you know, one song per artist. So I went with the highest ranking Spice Girl song, Wannabe. The girls are going up against, at number 38 for the year, Paula Cole. Where Have All the Cowboys Gone?
I loved me some Paula Cole. Back in the 90s.
Yeah, me too. She was really good. She's still around too.
Yeah, that makes me happy to know.
I went to a Paula Cole concert in this era. She was fantastic. I also saw her once or twice with Peter Gabriel. She was the backup singer in Peter Gabriel's band for a while.
That must have been amazing. Man, I used to love listening to Where Have All the Cowboys Gone. And my friends made fun of me for the amount of times they listened to it. Like, don't you ever get sick of Paula Cole essentially yodeling at the end of the song. He's the yippee-yos and yippee-yays. But I never did.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that part. That did get a little silly.
Yeah. That song's amazing. I gotta pick Paula Cole. Oh, feels so bad to leave the Spice Girls in the dust, but I gotta.
I can sense the guilt over eliminating the Spice Girls in the opening round.
It's only because they're up against Paula Cole. Man, if they were up against any other act we've talked about so far, the Spice Girls would be advancing.
You've got to make the tough decisions, and you're doing it. All right, moving to the next round. So we're going to the winners of this set of opening rounds right now,
okay.
If you know what I mean. That means we have Celine, It's All Coming Back to Me Now, against Sarah McLachlan, Building a Mystery.
Goodbye, Celine.
Celine's out. Okay.
Ciao.
Is that French? That's not French.
No, it's not. Au revoir, Celine.
There you go.
Au revoir.
French-Canadian songstress. And then we've got Sister Hazel, All For You, against Paula Cole.
A former me would hate me for doing this now, but I'm going Sister Hazel.
Sister Hazel. Surprisingly strong showing.
It's the yippee-yos and yippee-yays.
That was her downfall. So that means this is going to come down to Sarah McLachlan, Building a Mystery, and Sister Hazel, all for you. What do you think?
Okay.
This will be our first finalist.
At the risk of making everyone angry.
All 11 listeners.
They're going to be like, Cornflake, how could you not pick Sarah McLachlan? But I'm going with Sister Hazel, all for you.
Sister Hazel, I am shocked.
That song is so 1997, I can't stand it.
This is shocking. All right, now I've got 8 more songs.
Okay.
Standing by. Can anyone knock out Sister Hazel? Let's find out. Oh, I've drawn Jewel. This is the highest ranked song or pair of songs on the list. This was like a double single.
Okay.
With 2 songs. This is Jewel at number 2 for the year. Was Jewel with You Were Meant for Me and Foolish Games.
Jewel was a staple of the mid to late 90s, I recall.
Was Jewel any good in retrospect? Was that all just kind of lame? I feel like I don't want to listen to Jewel anymore.
Yeah. So I think there's 2 questions here, Kevin. Was Jewel good? Yes. Is Jewel good? No. I think she was a product of her time, and I don't think her music holds up.
Like, I would not care to hear either one of these songs right now. I may be biased because, as we've established, every week for several years in this era, I was hosting an open mic night, and high school girls would come in every week and sing a cappella renditions of Jewel songs.
Yeah, that's enough to make anybody want to stab their eyes out and their ears.
I kept saying, why did you stab your eyes out, everybody? That doesn't help.
Yeah, so Jewel is akin to torture for you.
Jewel has got to be considered a dark horse at this point because we don't even know who she's facing in this competition. We've just been trashing her. Let's see. Maybe she can pull this one out if I have someone equally horrible standing by. Jewel is going up against, Sean Colvin at number 39, Sonny Came Home.
Oh, come on. There are so many better Sean Colvin songs than that. And of course, that was the one that got popular. It's not fair.
This was the hit.
It had one of the things that really made me hate songs back then. And still now, all the repetition to it.
Mm.
But then again, Jewel. So
not your favorite Sean Colvin song.
And yet I can name other Sean Colvin songs that I'd like.
Oh, she's great. I'm a fan just like you. I've seen her live a couple of times. I saw Jewel. I met Jewel once.
She seems nice.
She seemed perfectly nice for the literally 2/3 of a second that I would say we met. She was fine.
I liked Jewel back then.
Even if Sonny Came Home isn't your favorite Sean Colvin song.
It's not.
It's going up against You Were Meant for Me and Foolish Games.
Right. It not even Who Will Save Your Soul. It's those two. And so I'm picking Sean Colvin.
I think you kind of have to.
And I'm doing so unapologetically, just so you know.
That's fine. Let's see what's next. I have Third Eye Blind. Semi-Charmed Life, your number 17 song of the year.
That's a classic.
It's pretty crazy catchy. I mean, I think we all got sick of it.
True.
Because it was kind of inescapable.
So it's a strong contender from where I stand.
The competition as well, also from the kind of alt-rock category. Third Eye Blind is going up against The Verve Pipe with The Freshman. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Uh-oh. I remember there was The Verve Pipe, and then there was another band at the same time that was just called The Verve.
I hated them.
Yeah, that was a problem.
Bittersweet Symphony is the worst.
Yeah, that was awful. That was awful. We've got Third Eye Blind and Verve Pipe.
Both of them were catchy. Both of those songs. I got less sick of The Freshman than I did Third Eye Blind. So I'm going Verve Pipe.
All right, I get that.
For the life of me, I'm going Verve Pipe.
Let's go, Cornflake. All right, now.
What's about to happen?
Now I've drawn. There's just no getting around this, Cornflake. Your number 94 song from 1997 was Barbie Girl.
Aqua.
By Aqua, yes. Where were they from? Were they Scandinavian? What was their deal?
They were something.
Yeah, I feel like they were Scandinavian. Aqua. It's sort of like not since Tony Basil and Mickey had we all been driven so mad by a pop song.
It's true.
That was rough.
But I liked the concept of the song.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
I'm not proud.
But not everything has to be high art, is it? I mean, come on.
Barbie Girl is going up against the Cranberries.
Oh.
At number 95, the Cranberries, this was another double single, two songs, When You're Gone and Free to Decide. I like the Cranberries.
Love the Cranberries.
We've been hearing a lot of Cranberries, you and I, when we watch that show Derry Girls.
You
which
know
is
it.
Set in Ireland in the 90s, and they play a lot of Cranberries as part of the soundtrack.
And the two songs were Free to Decide and...
And When You're Gone.
When You're Gone. When You're Gone is my all-time favorite Cranberries song. And so, surprisingly, it wasn't their biggest hit.
Yeah, they had a bunch.
Yeah.
They had more songs on the radio than you'd think.
And there wasn't a single Cranberry song I can recall that I didn't like. Mm. And When You're Gone, that's like not just one of my favorite songs of the 90s. It's one of my favorite songs of ever. So Cranberries advance. Sorry, Aqua. Only a little bit sorry, though.
I think I was secretly hoping that Aqua would win this whole thing just because it would be so ridiculous.
Sorry to disappoint you as well.
No, I like the Cranberries. I went to a Cranberries concert back in the day as well.
And for that, I will forever be envious of you.
I did see the Cranberries once. Yeah. Fun show.
I'm glad we get to relive Cranberries with the Derry Girls.
Yes. Just a couple of songs left, Cornflake.
I cannot wait to hear what they are.
Next, I have drawn... Oh, no. This is... I just pulled both songs out at once because, you know, they're the only two left, and...
What kind of face-off do we have here?
This is as goofy 1997 as you could get. We have Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba.
Yay. Oh, I was hoping we'd get some Tub Thumping out of this flop fight.
There they are. They're going up against Los Del Rio.
Oh, Macarena.
And Macarena, yes. I learned a lot about the Macarena, the history of the Macarena recently. I don't even know what the podcast was. I listened to some podcast that went into the story of that song, its origins and how it became such a phenomenon. And I'm not a fan of the song. Let's be very clear about that. But it was a very interesting story.
Yeah.
But this is a terrible plug for the show because I don't even remember what the podcast was, but it's out there somewhere, I suppose. Now, Tub Thumping.
Tub Thumping.
Nobody knew what to make of that.
I don't think I even know to this day why they call it Tub Thumping.
Now, in the song, what would you choose between the whiskey drink? What is it? It's whiskey, it's vodka, it's lager and cider.
Whiskey.
If you had to pick, you'd pick whiskey?
Yeah, with cider being my second.
You know, I think I'm with you. I'm going to go whiskey also.
I love a good whiskey.
I'll make us a couple of old fashions.
That sounds delicious.
Now, in the song, the guy doesn't choose, right? He has all four.
Yeah, he has them all.
Even after those four drinks, the guy kept getting back up. Right?
He did.
Got to give him that. What a weird song from a goofy band. And facing the Macarena guys. That was funny, too. Remember the video for Macarena?
I do.
Because it was just like those two old dudes.
Those guys. Yeah.
Like so proud of themselves. Like, yep, here's our big hit song. What do you think, Cornflake?
I did have my fair share of fun dancing to the Macarena.
Oh, no.
In the late 90s, I will admit. But... I think Tub Thumping is certainly more enduring. Have you heard the version done by John and John of They Might Be Giants? It's good. I would dare say better than the original. But the original, it does well enough on its own where I would pick it over the Macarena. I'd probably pick most anything over the Macarena. But I'd definitely pick Tub Thumping over the Macarena.
Tub Thumping advances then. So let's take care of the winners that you just picked, which means we're going to have Sean Colvin, Sonny Came Home versus the Verve Pipe and the Freshmen.
I feel these two are pretty equally matched. I liked the Verve Pipe better. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it were any other song by Sean Colvin, it's just luck of the draw, you know?
All right. I feel like this is an upset, but there you go. Verve Pipe.
I agree with you 100%. I'm kind of upset with myself.
Advancing. And now it's the Cranberries versus Chumbawamba.
Cranberries all the way.
Cranberries. All right.
Oh, boy. This is about to get hard.
And this, of course, means... Our second finalist will be either Verve Pipe or the Cranberries.
The pressure. We didn't pick the right one.
This might be the stupidest thing we've ever done, by the way.
And we've done some pretty stupid things.
Yeah. Well, 1997 pop song flop fight. It's got to be right up there. But Cornflake, it's Verve Pipe versus Cranberries. What do you think?
Cranberries.
Cranberries. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I know where this leaves us.
Well, it leaves us because you remember who was on reserve from the first 8 songs. The winner was Sister Hazel with All For You. So it's All For You going up against When You're Gone and Free to Decide by the Cranberries.
How could you do this to me?
This is all up to you. You're picking the criteria. This is based on whatever you like, however you want to make this decision. And I forgot to mention this part, but from now on, whatever you pick will be the only song you're allowed to listen to from the year 1997 ever again.
Oh, no. Yeah, I wish you had mentioned something about that sooner.
I totally forgot to mention that. But yeah, this was a legally binding activity.
Oh. All right. Well, so I'm going to say it was a close call. But Cranberries. Gotta be Cranberries. Free to Decide When You're Gone.
I think that's a fine choice. I mean, it's... I guess the real lesson is this was not a great year in pop music.
Yeah, you could say that.
There was kind of a nice little bump in music. Like the early to mid-90s had some good stuff. But this was beginning the downward spiral into the 21st century.
Yeah. Yes.
But sure, Cranberries, that's good. That's solid.
Yeah, I feel good about it now.
And you got 2 songs for the price of 1, because this was a double single, evidently.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to honor the spirit of this competition and from now on only listen to Cranberries music?
To the best of my ability. You live by the flop fight. You play by the rules.
I think you did quite well in this, considering you had no idea what was going to happen. Neither did I. I just suddenly came up with this. This was a last-minute 1997 pop music flop fight for which both of us were thoroughly unprepared. So, with that in mind...
I already regret it. I'm thinking I should have let Luscious Jackson advance.
With all that in mind, I think we did okay.
Yes, that was a lot of fun. Thank you for putting that together for me.
That was 1997 on the radio. Yikes. How did we survive? All right, Cornflake, let's go creeping out of 1997 and back up to the even more miserable present day. This might be a huge mistake because I just remembered we're returning to the year 2022, which has been less than ideal. But you know what? Let's just wrap this up. Please, Cornflake, get us out of here.
Okay. Flopcast.net is our website. We're also at facebook.com/flopcast. On Twitter, our handle is @Flopcast, and we're on Instagram, the_Flopcast. Ever wonder where you could leave us a rating and or a review? Well, I have a suggestion. You could do that on Apple Podcasts, and then other people can find the Flopcast, and it's a beautiful thing. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness, we're actually working on a cover of Barbie Girl. And as soon as that thing is ready, I think the universe is just going to fold in upon itself and put us all out of our misery. So we have that to look forward to. Cornflake, thanks for getting through a bizarre little kind of mini flop fight. Everybody, hope we took you back to 1997.
I think we did so in style.
For some really horrifying memories. And meanwhile, of course, be safe, be kind, be silly. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and Barbie girls.
So how do we describe this show? Like, what's really going to grab people's attention and make them tune in?
Nerdgasm for your eargasm?
What?
The spice must flow to be in the know.
Don't
be a willow. Grab your pillow.
But that one doesn't even make sense.
All right, stop. Snag a seat and listen. The nerds are back with a brand new edition.
No.
Okay, then. The Blurred Nerds Podcast. Rants, raves, reviews, recaps, and other bits of random fandom.
Well, see, that's perfect. You should have just led with that one.
Resistance is futile. Listen to the Blurred Nerds Podcast, right? Meow.
Fine. Make it so.
Cornflake, welcome to the secret after show.
Look at that. Here we are. Fresh back from 1997.
Yeah, but I'm afraid I'm about to drag us back to 1997.
Why ever would you do that?
The other thing I had in my notes from 97 that we didn't get to at all in the show is I do have the top 10 movies for 1997.
Oh, tell me more.
This is a pretty goofy list. Number 10 was the Faux Monty. That was like a bunch of naked guys dancing.
Yeah.
Remember?
Good times.
Did you see that?
No.
I think I did.
Why?
No, we didn't do that right. We should have. That was the complete opposite of the way that should have worked.
That's true.
Number 9 is the Fifth Element.
Multipass.
That was cool. I know I saw it and I haven't seen it since. So it's been 25 years and I forgot the whole thing.
I saw it back in 2013 for the first time.
Okay, so you've seen it much more recently than I have. I see girls at all the conventions dressed in those Fifth Element costumes. And they're very cute, but I don't remember anything about the movie. Number 8 is My Best Friend's Wedding. What is that? It's one of those romantic comedies. Which one is that?
Sounds like it.
Is that a Julia Roberts?
Probably.
Not sure.
Not totally.
Number 7 is Liar Liar. That's a Jim Carrey comedy.
Yes, and I did see that.
I saw that.
Saw it on VHS a year after it came out. I did see it.
Oh, I saw it in a theater. A friend of mine, I remember one day she just dragged me. She literally dragged me into a movie theater and we watched Liar Liar.
Not the worst of Jim Carrey's work.
It was okay. It was fine.
Decent.
Number 6 is As Good As It Gets. Oh, I saw that. That was Jack Nicholson. That was Helen Hunt.
Yeah, and Greg Kinnear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that one in the theater.
It was very critically acclaimed and very popular, and I
couldn't figure out why it was popular when I went and saw it myself.
I watched it, and I mean, it held my interest well enough. I got through it. I would never want to see it again. Like, in retrospect, I kind of feel like, oh, what was that? Number 5 is Air Force One. That's Harrison Ford. He's the president. And there's terrorists are aboard his airplane, aboard Air Force One. So it's like the president is also like an action movie star.
You suppose that was the precursor for Snakes on the Plane?
Something like that. Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, it's a goofy action movie, but it's Harrison Ford. So how bad could it be? I enjoyed that. Number 4, Tomorrow Never Dies. What is that? Is that a James Bond?
That's a Bond.
Okay, yeah. I did not see that. Who was James Bond at this point? Is that a Pierce Brosnan?
I think so.
I think this was the Brosnan era, but again, not a James Bond guy. Number 3, Men in Black.
That I saw in the theater.
Yeah, that's Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith, and they're fighting like alien monsters or something.
Yes.
Yeah, that was cute. I saw that.
The original. That was good.
That was the first one. I don't know how they've made sequels once or twice.
Which I have not seen.
No, I was done. One was plenty. One was enough.
One was good.
Based on a comic book, you know. Most people don't know that.
I did not know that, and now I appreciate it even more.
It wasn't like a big Marvel or DC thing. It was like one of the little independent companies published the Men in Black comic book. Number 2, The Lost World Jurassic Park. That's one of those crazy dinosaurs running around eating everybody movies.
Yeah.
I did not see this.
Not my idea of fun. I did not see it either.
I saw the first Jurassic Park in 1993. And that was it. I have not seen any ever since then.
Everything I know about Jurassic Park is compliments of Weird Al.
There's a new one out this year. There's a new Jurassic Park. I just heard Jeff Goldblum on Conan O'Brien's podcast. They were talking about it.
People like to see dinosaurs be bad.
I'm going to continue my long, proud tradition of not having seen a Jurassic Park movie since 1993.
Jurassic Park again. Dinosaurs gone wild.
Let's keep this going. And number 1, of course, was Titanic, speaking of Celine Dion.
Yes, it was.
I saw that. Remember that one? With the boat and whatnot?
Yeah.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.